it going, everyone? You're listening to episode 157 of the Dual Shockers Shockcast. It is January 14th, and it didn't take the gaming industry, specifically the press, long to have our first controversy of 2014. Yay!
It feels like a god. It feels like a controversy. I'm gonna tell his word. It's a controversy.
It totally is. But I'm just saying, like, it took us, guys. It took us 14 days into the new year.
I'm surprised it took that long.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yep. I expected it sooner.
It wasn't a controversy until the press made it so.
Uh-oh. All right. No, wait. Hold up. The new releases first, please.
Whoa, the names. Oh,
No. I'm telling her just to hold up. So I'm Dave Rodriguez, joined this evening by Tony Polanco.
Oi, what's all this then?
Oh, my God. Ryan Meitzler.
Hello.
George Jimenez.
Dave forgot how to podcast.
No, I did not. I swear to God. And Diana Laura.
Give me the keys, you cocksucking motherfucker.
I don't even know what that's from.
Love it.
All right, George, go ahead with the new releases.
I don't even know what we're doing anymore. all right, for the week of January 12th to the 19th, we have Nidhogg on the PC. Galcon Legends on the PC. The Banner Saga, PC. Assassin's Creed Liberation, HD, PlayStation Network, and PC. The Raven, Legacy of a Master Thief, PlayStation Network. Doodle Devil on the PlayStation Vita. Double Dragon, a PS1 classic on the PlayStation Network. Age of Zombies, PlayStation Vita. F1 Race Stars, Powered Up Edition, eShop, Wii U. That's on the 16th. And then we also have Unepic on the Wii U also, coming out January 16th, this Friday.
See, the Wii U has games that aren't first party.
Hmm.
That we've never heard of.
Yeah.
Well, I actually heard not awful things about Unepic.
Unepic?
That was the end of that statement.
Oh, okay.
That's like getting a box quote in a game that's like, this is a good game, and that's it. Nothing else.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go with Assassin's Creed Liberation HD, because why the fuck not?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with it's a tough choice between Nidhogg and the Banner Saga, but I'm going to go towards Banner Saga, because I've been waiting for that game for a while.
What are those games exactly?
Banner Saga is a turn-based RPG, kind of similar to maybe a Final Fantasy Tactics, kind of that grid, move your guys, they hit each other. But the cool thing about this one is the combat is, as your character gets weak, as he starts losing health, he gets weaker. So now it becomes a weird... It becomes placement after a while.
Very
so, like,
nice.
What units do you want facing it? So it makes sense. So, and then also, the stronger unit will always do more damage. Mm-hmm. So if I have more health than you, Dave, my blows will be stronger. So it becomes a matter: do I chase you to finish you off, or do you kind of lead them into a trap?
Yeah.
And you know, it's some strategy there. And also has a very beautiful hand-drawn 2D art style.
Yeah.
It's guys who used to make ex-BioWare guys who did Knights of the Old Republic, the first one, kind of went off into their own indie studio. They kickstarted. They made almost like $700,000 on their Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Good
haul.
And also it's got a multiplayer that's free called Factions. That's not bad. And Nidhogg is a side-scrolling fencing game with stick figures, and it just looks kind of awesome.
What? Yeah.
God. I've seen some videos for it. It's insane.
It looks ridiculous from all the videos I've seen. So.
All right, so just to be clear, the Banner Saga has nothing to do with Bruce Banner, right?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Nothing sure. Like that.
Nidhogg is not based off of a monster from Final Fantasy XI.
No.
All right, Ryan, Diana, your picks?
I am also between Banner Saga and Nidhogg, because they both look really, really good. But also Assassin's Creed Liberation, I'd be down for that. So there's actually a lot of good releases this week. So
yeah, actually, Diana told me that she's going to pick Assassin's Creed as well, because she loves that franchise. Right, Diana?
You obviously weren't paying attention to the last podcast
I
was in when I said...
I remember.
Ass Creed 4 is actually pretty good.
I know, but I was talking about the franchise. I said that you had love for the entire franchise. That's all.
Well, it's only $20. It's only $20, so that's the price I want to pay for another Assassin's Creed game.
For a port.
Damn, that's hateful.
Yeah. For a port. No, I'm not going to pay $50 for a game that was ported over twice.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
But I will most likely be buying Banner Saga, since I have been waiting for that that game for a while now.
Yeah. There's so many beards in that game. It's amazing.
So many beards.
I just shaved mine off. All right, so we're going to get into it. We have... Yeah, so, like I said in the beginning, the first controversy, whatever the fuck you want to call it, of the new year.
It's not a controversy. I think we should just...
Non-troversy.
That's why I said whatever you want to call it, all right?
Dude, it was a thing that lasted an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay, you guys just let me live.
Actually not. It lasted longer, but whatever.
I know, I'm exaggerating.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I'm just here to be correcting. I'm correcting.
I see that. I appreciate it. All right. So basically, Broken Age is a game that was kickstarted by
Double Fine
and Tim Schafer, and it raised a shit ton of money. And it's they made it whatever. And basically, they're in the phase now where they're sending out info to their backers, and there was a post put out for backers only. Ryan, remind me again. It was the release date, the official release date for part one.
Yeah. It was details about the release date for part one.
Yeah, and it was put out. It was reported on by an outlet, and they caught some flack about it because, I don't know. and George and Diana, this is where you jump in now. So they didn't sign an embargo, but they shouldn't have held it.
Let's kind of talk about like what actually happened. So
people were pissed.
Well, they were getting ready to release the game because Act 1's coming out in the next couple of weeks. So if you backed the game on Kickstarter, you got an early copy of the game.
Yes, but the reason why that publication got in trouble is because it's technically the only way that you can get certain information from Kickstarter. If you kickstart something, if you back the game, there's sometimes you can set private messages, which is also like controversial in itself because people complain like about it and they want to find if you don't back it, you don't get the information, and so people complain about that as well. So
wait, complain about what exactly?
They do like weekly updates, and they kind of give you an idea of like what kind of the progress in. Because I kickstarted Massive Chalice, so I get those every week where it's like, oh, here's another screenshot, or we're working on combat, that kind of
sometimes
thing.
Sometimes it's private, sometimes it's public. If it's private, that means it's specifically for backers who, because they earn the right to, they're paying for the whatever they kickstarted, so they're getting private special messages and everything.
It's proof that they're not running away with the money. Like, you know, they're actually
Like,
the money you donated.
Like, what's there to be mad about? They're informing the people that have invested money into the game.
Well, I guess the controversy comes into the fact that the press was told that, hey, even if you were a backer and a member of the press, do not post any formal reviews until, I think, what was it, the 27th or 25th?
Yeah, 25th.
So they say, basically, do not give this game a score or publish a review until this day. And I guess what got people worked up is that this was not a kind of pre-release press copy. This was a copy you got as a backer, meaning it was the full retail release. You just got it as a reward for, hey, thanks for giving us, thanks for having faith in giving us money. You guys can get the game early. What got some people annoyed, and who I kind of sided with, and that's when me and Diana had like we had a nice long 400-plus message thread going on in the chat, which is great. I'm always up for like a good kind of like discussion and debate. Mm-hmm. Was that this was something someone paid for? So the argument is, hey, if I paid for this, this is my game. Don't tell me what I can and cannot say or write about something I already own.
So then there's so then people are mad about two things then. Because when I first saw this morning, I saw people mad that Polygon had posted that they had posted the story about the season pass with early access.
Okay, so if you're a backer, you got early access.
Yeah, no.
If you're just a member of the press and say you didn't back the game or anything, you will get your press copy closer to release. Meaning, instead of this week, you'll get it maybe sometime next week or the week after when they're ready to give out press copies.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to wait in order to get your press copy, which heated a lot of people up, because if you didn't back the game and you're a member of press, all of a sudden now...
It's almost like you got an unfair head start because, hey, I decided not to back the game, which I'm like, hey, you know what? If you were that adamant about... If you want to avoid this, then you need to at least pay for everything on Kickstarter just to guarantee you get a you get that special pre-release copy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my point is, if you're a backer and you decided, like, hey, I'm going to put some money into this game and I'm part of the press, I think you have every right to say whatever you want about that. If what they say, if this is the full retail release and not an alpha or anything like that, then I didn't see any issue with someone saying, like, hey, this embargo is kind of nonsense. If I already own the game, you aren't doing me any special favor saying, like, a press copy where if you gave me a press copy and said, hey, George, we're giving you this game for free, but you can't write about it till a certain day, I can respect that because it's, you know, it's privileged information. It's like, okay, cool, or I can respect that. But if I pay you money up front and then you give me my game, you can't just tell me afterwards, well, here's your game, but here are a bunch of rules. I was like, no, I paid for my game. I'm going to run out and I will not, maybe if I don't want to play the game, that's my right too, but it's mine. Don't tell me what to do with my copy of my own game.
There's nothing really that they can do if you start posting it to Tumblr or something, right? It's not like they can ban you from the game. It's not like it's an online...
And they also said a follow-up email that was more of like a clarification, like, hey, look, we didn't do this to like upset games journalists or say like, take that. It was more for, they wanted to avoid spoilers because there are going to be some people to have this game almost 2-3 weeks in advance. And they say they were more concerned about that kind of stuff. So they told the Soda, if you're a member of the press, hey, you can do your review. They lifted the embargo and said, just don't post anything about the ending or any of kind of like the crazy twist that happened in the game, which I think is fair.
Clarified that, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the thing. There was kind of zero clarification, so people just kind of took their own interpretation of like, oh man, they're saying fuck you, press, or it's... And some people just kind of ran off in like a couple different directions with it.
That's what I was gonna say. I thought people were mad about something else, and I still not am clear about how the press fits into this now.
I mean, there were some press outlets that felt this was a little unfair that like other people, you know, non-press people were able to get the game before them. But this getting the game ready was your reward for donating and showing faith into a project, which I totally understand. Yeah. The big issue is that other outlets who donated, you know, just maybe members of the press who donate are part of different outlets, so like, well, I have my game. I'm going to write my goddamn review because it's mine. And the thing is, they didn't express this earlier. Like, if they had some sort of clause saying, hey, you're a member of the press, or ahead of time, here, sign this, you can't post up, like an NDA of some sort, that's I can respect that.
Yeah.
But I think that was I think some outlets felt it was a little unfair because someone from your site decided to donate this game because for fun or that they were interested. Why should they get a chance to get a review up before us?
When you're donating money to a Kickstarter, you're doing that like as a consumer, not as a journalist in any capacity. Yeah.
And that's my point, and that's where I'm coming from.
Okay.
You're a gamer first, and you're a journalist second. If you personally are donating money to a project, and then it's kind of like... Specifically, when these people donated money to get their to get the early access to the game, they were backers. So you're a backer, and you get the special privilege of playing the game before everybody else. There were a lot of little different facets to this argument, to what people were argument to this non-controversy, whatever you want to call it. It's whatever you want to call it.
It's whatever.
But
it is what it is. Just say that, yeah.
It is what it is. But my thing is that if you're putting money into the game and you're backing it, the backers have a right. Gaming press always gets first rights to everything. Mm-hmm. We get first rights to get... We get previews. We get special features. We get to go to E3. We get to go to this place. We get to go to this place. We get to do everything first. When these people who were complaining in the forums and on certain articles, whenever somebody, you know, wrote about this on their website, people were complaining. They were like, this is the right that press has. Press has this all the time. The fact that press is angry at the fact that they don't get early access to the game.
And they're still getting the game early, which is strange. You know what I mean? May not get it 3 weeks.
Certain people who are press get access to the game. Not every single press person gets access to the game. They're talking about specifically today. The codes hadn't even gone out, and there were press on Twitter whining and writing articles about how they were going to break embargo, and they didn't give a shit about people's requests, and left and right, because it's their right as press to write reviews and write articles. And then almost immediately after, people were like, are you serious, dude? You get early access to everything, I'm specifically talking about one person here. You get early access to everything, and you have the audacity to say that it's your right as press to get everything first, and therefore, like, normal people shouldn't get the right to play it first. You're a fucking dick.
If we're talking about the same person, that same person was actually a backer, too.
Okay, and I'm just going to ask for a link in the chat.
No, I'm talking about somebody else.
Right, oh, okay, that's fine.
I need
fine.
A link to the Twitter feed in the chat so I can follow along. And second of all, I just want to interject here that, first of all, I mean... The one thing I see is there's a difference between a game that's kickstarted and then, like, just any other game. Because you have people that are donating money to the project. So, yeah, they're going to get the game first. And second of all, there have been plenty of times where there have been games that haven't gone out until, like, the day of release. So, I don't know. This whole outrage is just, yeah, it seems bizarre to me. I mean... I think it was like Medal of Honor, Warfighter, Batman. Those games didn't get sent out.
Well, it's just that
I think some of them they had to buy themselves.
Well, I think it. Well, I think the issue was it was the backers' rights. The backers had every right to sort of play that game before the codes hadn't even gone out. I swear to God,
yeah.
The codes hadn't even gone out in the morning, and people were and press people were already bitching. And it was just like, dude, why are you bitching? Like literally, like just. Shut your mouth and wait your fucking turn. Just because these people paid money to play the game first, and you're actually pissed off about the fact that you can't play the game now, or that you can't play the game, or you have to wait a week to play the game. Like, shut up. Like, that's my issue with it. Because
yeah,
these people paid money.
You should have donated the $20. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If you were gonna have this issue.
Then we get, which I had a conversation with, a respected journalist who worked at Polygon, and his thing was, well, I back the game, so how does that put, where does that put me? And I said, I thought about it for a second. I said, well, the thing is that this is my interpretation. You're backing the game first, as like when you decided that you wanted to put money towards backing the specific game, you were a gamer first. You were excited about a specific game. You were excited about, the Double Fine, who, when they announced that they were doing something like this, ended up breaking a fuck ton of records. Like, you got excited about that as a gamer.
Well,
that was your thing.
Simply...
You were not... You.
I was gonna say it's simply you don't need to utilize your press credentials to kickstart a game. You can just donate money to it.
You're doing it as a fan.
Yeah.
That's your thing. You want to play the game. So why is it now that like when it's not about you being press, it's about you being a backer. Why is that an issue? Because it's not about you. It's about you being a backer, not about press. So, like, why is it, like, why is all of a sudden you need to pull your clout and say that, but I'm a press, I have the right to write a review? No, because Double Fine is specifically requesting that you wait your fucking turn and let people play the game. And they even mentioned it when they retracted their statement, when they retracted their, their request. Mm-hmm. They said, we did not mean to say this in malice. We just wanted people to play the game for 2 weeks and then have their have press
also
play the game
for
2 weeks.
Also because that was a perk that they paid for by donating.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. So play the game for 2 weeks, chill, not have to worry about your deadline of trying to release this fucking game. Just play the game and then write your review because you've had 2 weeks to, like, actually play the game. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, why is that not a thought process for you? Why does it have to, in the sense of like the press person.
Yeah.
Why does the press person not think of it that way? Why does it have to be, I'm pulling my fucking clout, I'm a fucking writer, this is why I'm breaking embargo, because I'm whoever I am, bam, bam, bam,
It's that privileged mindset bullshit.
And that's my shit. It's fucking privilege. Like,
yeah.
It's like, where are you coming from? Where is this coming from? Because, first of all, my favorite shit was when after Double Fine released that statement, like, somebody tweeted, now, all of these, like, hundreds of press people are now, sweating to get their reviews out first. I'm butchering the statement, but like I thought about that. I was like, to what end? Why? Are you that desperate to break the story?
This is
what
this
story
shit that gets to me, man. I'm not going to go off on a rant that I did on Twitter today, but basically this is the way I see it. Okay, Kickstarters are not like normal games. You have people that back it, right?
What do you mean normal?
This is what I mean. This is a normal game.
Not AAA.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about in the sense of company makes a game, right? Company sends us reviews, right? You know, review copies. Then the fans get it a couple weeks afterwards. No, you back a game. It comes out. You get it first. Whoever backed this thing first, that's, you know, whoever backed it gets a copy first. Then the press gets it later. That's, you know, that's how I see it should be. So if you're a journalist and you're bitching about people who paid for getting it before you, what the fuck? That makes no sense to me.
No. I
feel like there's two different points going on here.
All I want to say is, I think when it comes to review copies with Kickstarter games or with any game, it's simply up to the discretion of whoever's producing that game. Because I mean, there are some developers that Kickstarter game that may feel it's in their best interest to send review copies of their games so they can get it reviewed and more people will buy it like when it comes out. But I think it also has to do with like the perks that they dole out, you know, for people that back it, so they don't feel like they're. I can't even think of the term. You guys know what I'm talking about. George, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but no,
because I feel like there's two points going on here, and one I really agree with, as far as if you're a backer, and they say you're getting your game a few weeks early, that's fine. And the press people who are complaining, like, well, why are they getting it first? I'm a press guy. And then I'm with Deanna. I call you Deanna all the time. I don't know why.
But
I'm with Diana when I'm like, yeah, you know what? They backed the game. That was your perk. That's your reward. If you were press, if you were so adamant about like, I really need to get my hands on this game, that you know what?
Back the fucking game.
Yeah, you should have paid the $20.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was like kind of like the one controversy that I think was solved. The other was okay. I backed the game. Hey, I'm also a member of the press. Why can't my review
and just
go
up? Just one thing, George. Like at the very least, if you're interested in reviewing the game as press, all it takes is one email to whoever's handling review copies at that Kickstarter to say, hey, will my outlet be able to receive a code, yes or no? And they'll probably say either yes or no. We prefer, you know, people who want early access to back the game. Problem solved. And, you know, if you work for a big publisher, a big publication, I'm sure they have $20 of petty cash that they can spare to get you a code, you know?
In between the couches.
Yeah, I think the problem was, I think the language that, like, Double Fine put stuff out in, it came off a little kind of, like, harsh.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is
that it's, first of all, it's their fucking right because they made the game. Second of all,
it's their discretion.
It's their discretion.
Yeah.
And like, my thing is that they said, yeah, you're a backer, you have every right to do that. You have every right to, they even said, hey, if you want to stream it, if you're a backer, you know, if you have a YouTube page, totally go for it, dude, because you know what? Because this is about the community. The community paid the money to make this game happen. And if you have a YouTube streaming channel and you want to stream this game, you can go ahead and do it. That's perfectly fine. And they were very supportive about it, but they were very specific towards press people. And yes, let's go to the other side of that. If you're a backer and if you're press, you're a backer first and you respect Double Fine's, you respect their wishes. You don't just say, well, fuck this, I'm press. This is why I'm going to break embargo because I didn't sign anything. Motherfucker, you backed the game. You technically have a conflict of interest right there already. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
We talked about conflict of interest earlier.
Oh yeah, we did. We did actually.
But
it's like you.
But, I mean,
you,
but if you only
you
paid
back...
if you paid the price of the game, you just prepaid your game, and that's the way I see it when you go into that amount.
Yeah.
Like, and
yeah, but
me...
you, but no, 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 but the thing is that we don't like you can't once you start you know like a nitpicking it, then it starts to like lose its importance. You got in these cases, you got to look at it in the black.
Nitpicking what?
If you pay $20 for the pre-order, so like let's say one of the press people for some reason, I have no idea, I'm fucking making this up. This is not true and this is not fact. Let's say one of the press people paid $5,000 so that they can go and hang out with Tim Schafer and have them cook him dinner. You know what I'm saying? That's five grand right there.
That's awesome. Yeah.
that would be fucking awesome. You know what I'm saying? but you just put $5,000 in the game. You put a substantial amount of money invested a lot of money into this game.
Yeah, you should not be writing a review.
Writing a review in this. You know what I'm saying?
So can I ask you one question then? Can I ask you one question, Diane?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Go for it.
All right. So you're saying, you invested $5,000. All right. Can we just drop the whole stipulation of Tim Schafer cooking the guy dinner? Because that's just – that's too much. But you're talking about
that sometimes it's a Kickstarter. Sometimes they fly – what did the Penny Arcade one say? You can come over and get a tour of the Penny Arcade offices.
All right.
Yeah, the studio.
Well, just – all right. Well,
that's an example. But that's you're putting $5,000 in. I'm not saying that
okay.
What is the difference? That's okay, but you're putting a substantial amount of money in there. Okay. But even then, you still put money into the game.
What I want to ask you, though. What is the difference between investing in a Kickstarter and buying your own review, your only copy for review? Because either way, you're investing in developer. You're giving money to that developer because you want to play their game.
No, those are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to GameStop and I'm buying a game, I'm just buying a game. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to Kickstarter and I'm putting money towards this game, my $20 was the difference between this game or this Kickstarter succeeding and failing. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's the Kickstarter, you're investing, it's crowdsourcing. Tim Schafer asked the public for money. The public gave him money, and because of that, we all have a stake, whoever put this money into this game.
Yeah, because there's a possibility that game... Because it's possible you can lose that $20 if that game never comes out.
Exactly. It's not like Indiegogo where, the people can still keep their money. No, in Kickstarter, if the funds are made, they keep it. And so that your money belongs to them. But, that's why where you get the Ouya as well. The Ouya, everybody, that's why, people invested, put a lot of money into it because they wanted it to succeed.
It was the future.
Because it was the future, they wanted it to succeed, and you are putting your $100 in there because you're I believe in this and I want the Ouya to be a successful product. I'm putting this $20 in so that this Tim Schafer game, Double Fine game, can be successful. It's not me going to GameStop and buying a game.
But aren't you basically doing the same thing? GameStop, you're buying a game, and some people will just buy a game, but other people think, I'm buying a game, and at the same time, I want to, support this developer, support people that publish it, because by buying this game, I am helping to invest in that company and whatever they make next, isn't it? I mean...
I guess you could say that, but the difference is that you're paying $60, and let's say 20 of that goes to the actual, hypothetical number.
Yeah.
But
either way, the developer's still seeing a positive uptake buying their game. The dollar figure can vary, but they benefit
With a Kickstarter, I put $20. $20 is going directly to the game.
Yeah, yes. I had to buy my review copy of X-Men Destiny, and I felt like a complete asshole after I reviewed it, hated it, and be like, I can't believe I gave Silicon Knights money.
The thing is, though, I wouldn't read your review and say, well, this guy has no integrity because he paid for the game. I don't think if someone wrote a review for a game they Kickstarted, I wouldn't question their integrity.
Yeah, because like I said, it's all about hey, you're just excited about this game. You don't know whether you like it or not, because that's the gamble. And that's the fun part. You're like, yeah, I just put some money into this. I hope this works out. I hope this thing doesn't explode in my face.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the best. Which is the best part. I just wish and I guess going forward, because now we're gonna start running into this problem. Well, hopefully not again, and maybe just the language would be clearer, saying maybe they should have a tab when you donate. It's hey, are you a member of the press, by the way? Let me put you in this special email thread, all it would have took was just either Double Fine doing a separate messages, a separate mail to just members of the press. Hey, if you're a backer and you're a member of the press, we would appreciate it if you would hold your review for a certain day.
I just don't think they expected there to be this controversy to come up because they didn't see it as a big deal. They expected people to be like, okay, Double Fine doesn't want me maybe it was very naive of them, but Double Fine expected people to say, okay, Double Fine says they don't want me to, you know, to produce my review. I'm not going to do that. Well, that wasn't the case because, you know, to go back to journalistic entitlement, you know, I say that bitterly. That obviously isn't the case. It was not the case at all. And you know, and the journalists, certain journalists, you know, were louder and, you know, complained the most and, you know, whiny. And at the end of the day, they ended up getting what they wanted. You know, and for me, it was just like, it's just like, it's so silly. Yeah. This is so stupid. Double Fine put a request
whining
for
on
you,
Twitter about anything,
and you're going to tell me.
Just for the record. Yeah, well, yeah. Just for the record.
Well, it's not just Twitter. They literally wrote an article on a legitimate website and said, this is the reason why I'm breaking the Double Fine embargo.
Please.
Yeah, okay. I'll send it to you. I'm not on my front of my computer. So it's just
George,
like, are you serious? Yeah. Like, that's just silly.
I'll send it. I got it here somewhere.
Yeah.
But, but the thing is, I saw a point to that because, and I think the biggest issue has, and like I said, this to me, I felt this was more like a philosophical disagreement I had where it was just like, I paid for this. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me what to do. And I think that's and I think that was the hardline stance a lot of people were taking. Aside from I want to be the very first person to get a review up. I think it was more like, dude, don't tell me what to do with my fucking money. Like, don't tell me what I can do with this.
I get that.
And somehow,
but
that
we also have to respect.
Yeah,
I get that.
And I'm agreeing with you. We're gonna have one of those moments where me and you are agreeing but still yelling at each other.
I think the thing was just language. They just needed to clarify what they meant because at first it seemed like they were saying don't write a fucking thing, but really what they were what they wanted to say or what they amended it to say was we don't want you to post spoilers. If they said don't post spoilers, I don't think you would have whatever the fuck happened today.
Yeah.
I don't think you would have had
Or like, and there was some language as far as like a formal review. Well, does a formal review mean like an impressions? Like, how loose can we use this term here? And I think, and some people don't want to like damage the relationship they have with Double Fine and be like, so that means I can't post anything, or can I talk about it? Can I like insinuate that I'm playing it?
I don't know.
Like I said, the language is a little murky, and you know they did clarify it later on in the day. It's gross. I mean, it ended up being mostly gross, the whole situation, how it panned out.
It is. And like, who at the end like is the winner? Nobody's the winner. Yeah. And I feel really bad for Double Fine because they meant well. Hmm. And they, like, you know, and then it's just...
Mistakes were made.
What does it fucking matter? Like,
I think,
why?
I think,
like,
I think
why
it's
does
one of those
it matter?
That'll blow over, honestly, though. Like, it'll probably be brought up again tomorrow. But I think, you know, give it another day or two, this is not gonna be an issue anymore. And I think
not at all, because obviously now you actually have to like write stipulations when you meet to everything, because then you know, which is so ridiculous to me, because at the end of the day, it's like, what is the benefit? Like, what would have been the benefit though? Like, if press had just kept their mouth shut, say, okay, yeah, sure, I'm just going to play the game and wait a week or 2 weeks, whenever the embargo would have lifted. But it's how hard was it to say, sure?
I think it was the whole idea is that they just found it gross that they put an embargo on something they paid for. You know what I mean? Like,
but then we go back to the fact that you're a backer. You backed a game as a gamer who enjoys Double Fine, who enjoys playing video games. So are you It's like blurring the lines between a gamer and a press.
You
can be both.
But that when you're donating money to a Kickstarter, you're not utilizing any. Your role as press has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So
because press didn't pay for that.
Yeah.
That came from my pocket. You know what I mean? Like that. That's not big. But I think my point comes from like I paid for this. If I decide, hey, we should do a review for this, we should be able to do a review for it because you know what. This wasn't something we were given privilege. You know what I mean? This wasn't, hey, here's your free copy of your games. There's your free review copy. Here are some rules. That I can respect. But when I put money down on this, I was like, you know what? This is mine. I'm gonna say whatever I want about this. After, you know, I'm going to give you my opinion, but don't tell me what not to say or what I can and cannot do.
Sorry. But you're still a press person, though. You're still mucking that up.
Does
that make sense? I feel like maybe I'm not explaining myself clearly though, because it's like yes, you put your money towards it. That's fine. But you put your gamer money towards it. Like, you as a person put your money towards it so that you could play it as a gamer. And you being oppressed should not have anything to do with that. Like, it has, like, you being pressed and wanting to write a review has nothing to do with that.
I do think you guys are actually agreeing with each other, because I'm hearing a lot of the same stuff from both of you right now.
And we had the same problem with Assassin's Creed 3. We were both like, I fucking hate Connor. Like, no, I fucking hate Connor. And really,
Ryan, what do you think about this? Because you've been quiet the whole time. I don't know if you're like Mr. Burns just sitting there with your hands together. What's going on, man?
I mean, because, like, what Diana and Jorge have said, I think, explains it pretty clearly. I mean, I guess I kind of side with Diana a little. Sorry, Jorge. I kind of side a little bit with Diana about, like, the whole...
No, it's cool. Fuck you. Whatever. You're an asshole.
like, I do understand the whole kind of, you know, like, there's the whole, I'm paying money for this so I can talk about what I want. But again, I think also there's that sort of relationship between the backer and the developer, you know, I guess, again, kind of that whole privilege thing that Diana was talking about. But I guess I'm just kind of, like, seeing, like, how Kickstarter and games and all, like, will be affected by, like, if they'll be affected by this at all, like, if it'll change how developers, like, send their games as rewards through Kickstarter and all. So I guess that's
I'm looking forward to what I want to see. Yeah, Ryan, I was actually going to ask, like, do Kickstarter games have, like, a terms of service? Because that seems to be the one aspect that's missing from this.
Yeah, I think... I don't really know, because I've never backed a game on Kickstarter, but it's it's probably something we might see now, like, after something like this.
Oh, I totally agree.
So, because
it's pretty much it's pretty much, like...
It'll save a headache later on by just, you know, they just express and saying, like, yeah, we're giving you a copy, just don't write anything for a week.
Yeah, well, this is, after this is definitely people I think are going to be doing that, because it's, you know, this is, it's still a new thing. This Double Fine game was the first game to really, like, elevate, you know, kickstarting a game, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think from now on, people are definitely, those high-profile games are going to start thinking about how they want to start releasing that stuff. Because right now, there isn't a terms of service. It's just whatever you want it to be. Kickstarter doesn't even have a hand in it at all.
Yeah. You know, you're right about that. I backed Mighty No. 9, and it was just, oh, thank you, put money here, and that was it, you know? nothing else.
Here's the thing. I'm just under the impression once something is released, it's out there. Like, yeah, backers got it early, but to me, that game is released.
That's what I'm saying, though. 87,000
copies, the backers are going to be able to play Broken Age this week.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
To me, that's a release. That's a release. That's not like a slow rollout or anything.
Yeah, that's a full-on release, yeah.
That's not a soft release.
That's a hard release.
Like, to me, I consider that a release of a game.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like,
however, it's also stipulated because it's a release of a game. However, this is a new thing. This is primarily for a certain group of people who this game has been, you know, released to. So, it's a release, but it's not an official release, because it's still like, you don't have it, I don't have it, and nobody else has it. We can't buy it right now. Like, we can't, you know? So it's not available to go to GameStop and, like, I can't buy a code or anything from them. So, you know, this is a special case, and this is, do you know what I'm saying?
And I feel like that's more of an argument if they were just, like, a few hundred copies floating out, but I'm just like, I think just, I don't know, to me, I consider that volume, that's a release. Even if, like, Steam people can't get it now, there's still a ton of people playing it right now almost 90,000 copies. That's a fucking release.
Yeah.
It's a very limited release. It's a limited release, right? I don't know.
Limited release. what I was going to say was, back to the terms of service.
I can't wait to play it. I don't know about you guys. I just kind of want to play it now. Like, after this Hoopla, I was like, I need to see what the big fucking fuss is about. Like,
what is that? What is the game exactly?
I just was
it's just
broke
an RPG
as fuck. I couldn't put any money towards it, so I...
It's just an RPG or something.
No, it's a kind of like an adventure game. It's in the vein of like their classic adventure games, like Day of the Tentacle or Full Throttle.
Frodo.
You know, it's just point and click.
Frodo, right?
Yeah, Elijah Wood's in it. It looks really cool.
It has a really good cast. Like, you have, like, Jack Black and a couple other, like, Schaefer regulars in it, but, like, it looks really good.
Jennifer Hale.
Just don't fucking say anything about it, guys. Jesus Christ.
No, we can now. It's cool.
Well, anybody could have said... Oh, God, forget it.
And I feel like...
Go ahead.
And I feel like people would have probably respect... I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just feel like people reacted so harshly to this, because, like, if we kind of left this alone, I feel like most people would have respected that, like, that embargo date without making a big deal about it. But I don't know. It just rubbed someone, or just rubbed a number of people the wrong way.
Because
I wouldn't have not given
it
a second thought, but it was... Yeah, I'm sorry. Go.
No. See, and the funny thing is that Double Fine didn't say you cannot talk about this game, press. They said you can talk about it, but just don't release a fucking review on your website that gets 100 million hits a day. You know?
Still waiting for that link, like, by the way.
That's all Double Fine said. They said please do not release a review. All
right.
They said don't review it. You can talk about it on Twitter. You can talk about it in your social spaces, but please do not release a review. Because again, to go back to what they said, to put a button on it, they said they just wanted you to play the damn game and not have to worry about the pressures of putting it out and competing with people at midnight to get the first review up.
Well, that's very considerate of them.
I'm glad you put a button on it.
That's very considerate of you, but fuck you.
Thank you for running our
site. I want to work.
We're going in fucking circles now, but yes.
Hey, Dan, is that the article we're talking about, or am I crazy?
I don't know, honey. I'm not in front of a computer.
Oh, okay.
So SimCity Offline. What happened there?
Yay.
EA put out a blog post saying, SimCity Offline, that thing that we said was not possible at all.
Physically impossible. Yeah. Our network does not allow you to play SimCity Offline. We tried. We called wizards down. They could not figure this out. It is insane. I don't know. And it's so crazy. We want to unlock Cheetah Speed. We just can't get it.
LOL, JK.
We are working on a time machine to get us into the future to figure out how offline works.
Yeah.
And they did it. I'm impressed they did it.
Basically, magic didn't work, so they used science, and that's how they got it to work.
So what happened with it?
I don't know.
Yeah, no specifics, but yeah, I actually posted about this. I think it was last week.
Yeah.
So basically, they didn't give any specifics, but basically, the game that was not supposed to be able to be played offline is now offline.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically, you have your single player and... You can mod it now, all this crazy stuff, and, you know, all the things that you build online are still be there. But it's basically, them just, you know, what's the word I'm going to, like, a mea culpa kind of thing. I don't know, like an act of contrition. Like, okay, guys, we fucked up, here you go.
Yeah.
1 year later.
Well, you know what actually was who saved the day, right? It was money.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
It was money. At the end of the day, it was money because people didn't want to buy this game. They played it, and then they complained about it as fuck, and nobody ended up buying it because there were so many fucking complaints.
Or you hear enough people complaining. Or you hear enough people saying, you can't play this game offline. It's like, well, that's not fucking SimCity. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Especially when you had someone rip out all the online shit and played it offline. And they
Didn't they do that, like... a month or two later?
Yeah, it was all over the place. Someone, you know, went in, fucked with the code, and they were playing it offline. And
like, hey, guys, look what I can do.
Yeah, I love modders are
so
great.
So ridiculous.
Modders are basically, they exist to just disprove any argument a publisher throws out there.
Yeah.
You just can't, I mean, this is not an audience you can really mess with. Because they will,
I think,
they will pull thread.
I think this release was just one final grasp, where it's like, let's see how many more copies of this game we could sell now that we have that feature everyone wanted.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would buy it now because I actually really wanted to play SimCity.
And I heard
I wanted to, but I was just like, eh.
Why was it online only again? This is SimCity, a traditionally single-player game. Why?
Yeah,
was it?
Well, they were trying this, like, asynchronous multiplayer, meaning, like, they'll give me a plot of land, but then I kind of have to rely on my neighbor because there's only some resources my area of our little country can make. So, like, my town makes a lot of oil, but your town might have a higher population.
So it's like it has some MMO aspects to it. But
like, from Settlers of Catan online.
But here's the thing, right? When I just call, instead of calling it SimCity, they should have called it SimCity Online. Let everybody know this shit is online. That would have solved everything, you know? Like, okay, but, here's this version that's offline. Then
I mean, I guess
online.
We start getting into some weird language because you don't really... The only interaction, say, I would do with you would say shooting you a chat because I saw you were my neighbor. I'm like, yo, Tony, what the hell's wrong with you? Send some buses over here. And
yeah.
There's no one working in my town, man.
Yeah, it's weird, you know?
It was a good idea,
but the thing is that, like, they really needed to incorporate that offline for people who just don't give a shit about multiplayer.
Yeah.
Which is... Which is an issue all in itself.
Or just don't make it so reliant that you need to interact with other people.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that it was always online, was just a mess. People couldn't.
Yeah, totally.
The game didn't work for about a week.
Yeah.
And then when people actually started playing the game, they're like, "Well, this game's not even that good."
So yeah, by this game having
rendered it unplayable, right?
Yeah. By it having an offline mode, it's the way it should have been in the beginning. You have an online mode and an offline mode. Everyone wins. That's the way it should have been.
Yeah, I think what it'll do is if, like, you can play it offline, but you occasionally have to connect it online to do kind of, like, that that other town stuff. Because, like I said, you can't just... They give you... The plot of land you had is too small for you to do everything you want to do. Like,
well,
you have
unless
to really...
they change things so it works specifically.
That's true.
Yeah, that's one way of doing it.
I'd like to try it out and see how that works out. But, like I said, it was just, like, there was so much negativity behind SimCity, I just wanted to kind of stay away from it as much as possible.
You know, it puts us in a weird position, or at least me in a weird position, where I have to kind of slightly be sorry for a big company like EA, because they've had a lot of fucking bad press lately, you know?
They had a rough year, but, like, SimCity, they took a risk.
The SimCity situation was a big debacle on their part, but the truth is they get a lot of unnecessary flack just because, I don't know, I think the industry just needs one company to beat up from time to time.
They are a great big company to pick on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because they'll still release their games. I mean, they were voted the worst company in, like, the world.
Yeah, that's, like, really?
Worst company in America.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure there are companies that have been responsible for people's deaths.
They beat out Bank of America.
They beat up Bank of America, and they beat out, like, corporate oil companies that have, like...
destroyed our economy.
Because they made a game that some people didn't like. That's
because
why.
Of Mass Effect 3, dude.
Yeah, Mass Effect 3 and then SimCity.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Because of Mass Effect 3.
Well, that was some 2012. Remember, they got that because of Mass Effect 3.
And people still bring that shit up, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck EA, they ruined Mass Effect.
Plus, you also had the Battlefield 4 situation last year, too.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, they're going to hold on to that.
And the Battlefield 4 situation now.
It's still
going.
Yeah.
I would like to actually do my review of Battlefield, but I've not felt comfortable feeling like I don't think I've been able to get a full, like, 2 hours of online play there.
Wow.
Just
give it the polygon score. Give it, like, a 2 now, a 6 later, maybe bump it up to 8, you know? I'm just saying.
The ever-evolving review score.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
No, because I thought of SimCity, and I think their score was like 9, 8, 4, 6, you know? So.
Well, because remember, well, Press got that copy early, so their SimCity's worked fine.
Pristine.
And people were like, oh, this game's pretty cool.
Yeah.
People were like, this is amazing. And then once it kind of went into the wild, and other people were, like, they had no idea that, like, your neighbors can, like, they had no idea that your neighbors can completely grief you. Like, if I lived in your neighborhood and say I didn't play at all, I fuck up everyone around me because I'm not producing. Or, like, my city gets so fucked that I have poverty, and then all my criminals start just kind of going out into your other cities.
Basically, you're saying is you can be Rob Ford in SimCity. Basically.
Yeah,
all right, awesome.
You can literally make Toronto.
Wow.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, now I want to play this game and just not do anything with my town and let it all go to shit and fuck up everybody else's game.
I want to play it and just play it wrong. People should be like, no, George, you should have windmills. You're high on energy. It's like, no. I'm really big on airports here. I've got 3.
Jet fuel, motherfucker.
It's the future.
Yeah.
The future.
Oh my god. Alright, so we're gonna run down some news very quickly. Episode 2 of The Wolf Among Us is out in February. So
not soon enough. I need that right now.
And then apparently they said that they were very concerned about the long delay for the episode. It was one of those occasions where several things conspired against us. but they wouldn't get into the details.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we had holidays and other stuff.
Yeah, holidays and some shit went down, apparently.
Yeah. But, we're not legally... We legally can't talk about.
Yeah.
Dude.
We had a murder, guys, all right? We had a party, and a dancer died, and now we have to deal with it.
So it was the Wolf of Wall Street and Telltale Games, basically. Okay.
They took some Quaalude, and... Shit went down.
Didn't like two of the episodes of Walking Dead have a delay? Like they're saying like, oh, we'll have these out every month, but they were doing like an average like every 2 months they were coming out.
Oh yeah, it was like between like the first and second episode maybe. But it wasn't as long of a delay as this because you're talking about the first episode came out in October and it's almost four or five months now and we still haven't gotten the next episode.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Let's see. Creative.
By the way, I'm replaying The Walking Dead, and I'm convinced Chapter 2 is probably the best one.
Why?
Because I'm playing it on my Vita.
Chapter 2 is the farm, right?
That's a good excuse.
Diana, say it again. You're convinced of what?
I'm convinced Chapter 2 is probably the best one.
That's the farm, right, Diana?
Yeah.
That is the farm.
Yeah, that's
a good episode. That's a really good episode.
Yeah.
That's a really good episode. It's really well written.
And I like 4 also.
Oh. Yeah, that one's
when they go into the school.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you guys have favorite episodes, because for me, with The Walking Dead, I'd find myself in, like, a Breaking Bad situation where it's, like, one complete story. It's hard to pick out, like, one piece of that and say, like, this is my favorite, you know?
Man, it's all good.
I think it's more moments, like, specific moments from an episode.
Yeah, the end of that farm episode, the end of episode 2 was just like, holy balls, shit just got
real.
Well,
you know they weren't fucking around.
Everything.
Yeah.
No, man. It's like everything goes wrong. And I just finished chapter 2 yesterday. I was playing it on the train, dude. I was nervous and scared, like sincerely. There were like some moments. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
That's
sidetracked. But
hell yeah.
Great game. Definitely
good. There was some good writing in that. There was some good writing and good experience.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got going on. Creative Assembly has been in the Fox Vault during their production of Alien Isolation, and look, I wish them all the best, but I was fooled when I saw Bishop in Alien Colonial Marines. And
seriously,
Gearbox went to the vault too.
Yeah,
so dude, we were all fooled.
Yes, I'm like, you know what? Do you, and I'll wait.
Yep, there you go.
Let's see.
We
cautious
actually went
optimism,
to those previews, and it was great. Like we were like, oh man, this looks awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, this plays great. I don't even know what happened.
See, the thing is, it didn't really hurt me that much because I'm not a huge fan of the second film. But this, I'm sorry, I'm not. But the second game taken more from like the first film, which is my favorite, and in my opinion, should be the only acknowledged Alien film. So it's like you better.
Whoa!
Alien vs. Predator. Come on, no, I'm kidding.
Shut up.
You couldn't even keep that up.
Let's see what else. Oh yeah.
I actually went on a binge looking up the physiology and the history of the xenomorph.
Nice. That's great. That's a fun rabbit hole to fall on.
Isn't it? Oh my god! And then after that, you go into the predators as well, dude.
Wait.
Discovering that it's wild.
I want to know.
They're a matriarchal society. Did you know that as well?
Hold on.
No, I did not know that.
The predators, they're matriarchal as well.
What is going on through your head where you say, you know, I want to look up xenomorphs today? Like, I'm just
look. You know,
well, it was more because I was watching that preview and I was like, yo, this is crazy.
Well, sometimes you go like, I wonder how gloves are made, and then you just follow the link, and then you keep clicking, and then you end up reading about xenomorphs.
Finding out how predators have sex with each other. It's crazy.
Somehow you're talking about the Nazi Enigma machine, and then you're like on Jupiter, and you're like, why Wikipedia? I'm here 4 hours later.
Yeah, you just spike off of Wikipedia all day.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's learning.
It's not that crazy. I took a sci-fi cinema class in college, and I had to write a paper about the first alien, so it's not
too,
that crazy.
So did I. Look at that.
Yeah.
Wasn't the most fascinating thing about their just, again, off the rails, but it's like the fascinating thing about it, I feel like the xenomorphs is their blood and how they're able to not like it's acid, but how they're not able, like it doesn't burn them, it doesn't hurt them. That's
that,
fascinating.
Like, their veins were insulated or something like that, but then if they bleed, it's like they don't burn themselves.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
That's fucked up.
It's also fake because they're not real.
Right, you know what? Stop.
Shut up. It's based on reality.
He just had the ultimate. Somebody had to be the troll, and it was George, of course.
That's the ultimate workaround. Is that
Jorge? You're ruining it, man.
God damn. I don't know.
I love those things. I love trying to see basing movies in reality and to see how does Superman fly?
See,
or how does Superman catch a person who's falling off a building? Because technically they should split in half.
Motherfucker, right? Calm down. All right, we don't have any more time for more news. All right, so what do you guys?
We can do a quick one. Do a rapid fire one.
Yeah, that's a quick one. Oh yeah. Ashley Johnson was interviewed by the PlayStation blog, and she said that The Last of Us Left Behind, the DLC, it's going to be a more playful, very different, very different dynamic between her and Joel. Now, what I see there is she's throwing the veil over your eyes. She wants you to think it's going to be all nice and fun, and then the tragedy is going to happen.
It's a rhythm game.
And you're going to cry. Just like he did with The Last of Us when the first 20 minutes, and yeah, that's gonna happen again. That poor girl Riley's gonna get it. You know it's gonna happen.
Oh my god.
Alright, so Diana, what are you playing this week?
Replaying Walking Dead series. I've been really hitting my Vita hard. So Christian played that a lot.
I just imagine Diana punching the shit out of her Vita.
Punching
the
shit out of my Vita.
Why don't you have more games?
What? They have plenty of games. I have way too many games on my Vita right now.
I mean, games that are like specific to the Vita and not like handheld counterparts to console.
Why you gotta get it all specific, man? Why can't you just play
her Vita? Why can't you just play her game?
Why you all of a sudden want reasons and shit, man? What the fuck?
Yo, man. It's like, what?
You need points and stuff, man? Whatever.
I'll be very honest. Giuseppe putting up all those like little the Vita games from Japan with all the boobs and crazy things. Like, Giuseppe, I feel like, is going through like some sort of a hentai phase right now. So all of those games that he's putting up, I'm like, oh, dude, I want to play them. I'm so curious.
Why?
Like right on the subway and just no headphones, just turn it
on.
Yo,
man, if that game ain't exclusive to the Vita, it don't count.
Shut up. Alright, Tony, what are you playing?
I am actually playing Sly the Thieves in Time.
Nice.
It's fucking awesome. I'm not replaying this right now. Diana, you saw me talk about this on Twitter. I'm going through my back catalog, and I picked up, like, let me play this. Ooh, yeah, because here's the thing. What's the studio behind it? I forget the name of it. It's not Sucker Punch, but they did a great job of actually replicating the feel of the previous games. I'm loving it. It's great.
Alright.
So that's what I'm playing.
Ryan, what are you playing?
I haven't really been playing much because I've been playing the fun game of setting up a new computer. So that was basically.
Oh, that's fun.
So yeah,
that is fun.
All right. Yep. George.
I was playing Scribblenauts Unmasked because someone gifted that to me for Christmas, and I was like, oh, that's in my library. Let's try that out.
How is that? And are you playing that on the Wii U?
I'm playing on the PC. I'm playing on Steam.
Okay.
I've never played a Scribblenauts game before, so I heard some people have like Scribblenauts fatigue, but this is my first Scribblenauts game, and it's all DC stuff. It's a lot of fun. Oh no, Sinestro has a yellow scorpion. How are you going to stop him? What's a predator of a scorpion? And I'm like, I don't know, a frog? And a frog came out and killed the scorpion. I was like, great.
Sweet.
Yeah, I put a...
Dude.
I typed giant frog, and a giant green construct of a frog came in.
Oh, I was
like, fuck yeah.
That's amazing. I do really want to get that for the Wii U.
Or the best is, like, I use, like, really extreme things to solve problems. Like, there's a girl, like, frozen. So I decided, I'm like, all right, I'm going to call the Orange Lanterns and have them deal with this.
But there's only
and they just, gotta, well, they just gotta float around and shoot her, but it's like no one can melt her ice. And I was like, alright, I guess, flame guy.
Oh my god. Alright. I am playing, I finished Batman.
Oh, and State of Decay. State of Decay is great.
State of Decay.
The DLC is excellent.
Alright. I finished Batman Arkham Origins, and I'm sorry, but fuck you, George. I thought it was good. I don't know what the fucking problem was. It's like
I feel like I see. I don't believe you. I feel like you're.
I'm
I
not
feel
rationalizing.
Like you just don't wanna,
I swear to God, I'm not rationalizing.
I don't think you want to hurt Batman's feelings.
No. Look,
the whole time you were playing it, you're like, it's not as bad as you were saying. I was like, no, I said it was painfully mediocre, and you're like,
Well, maybe I'm not going to attribute it all to you, but there were people that were like, it's fucking shit, and they hated it. Anyway, I mean,
no.
It doesn't have Paul Dini's signature, as I mentioned before. And I will admit the story is a bit misshapen. Misshapen.
I have never heard a story described in that way.
No, because the big reveal in that game comes less than like halfway through. And I really expected it to be like, the thing was, I was actually spoiled in that part. Somebody spoiled it for me. And I thought, okay, well, if that happens near the end, that'll make perfect sense. But it happens like before you really even get into things. So, you know, it was a little stupid in that regard. But otherwise, I thought it was good. I liked the references to the Killing Joke. And there was another fucking comic
that
I referenced. Fuck. The Killing Joke. There was another comic. But yeah, it's like Asylum and City were amazing because it was basically the animated series, the video game. And,
but grown up.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this one's not the Mona Lisa, I'm sorry, but I still thought it was really good.
I just don't think the prequel worked. Like, that prequel setting worked. Like, I think they should have told... Yeah, the whole idea this is taking place like year two of Batman's career.
Yeah,
they should have told. I think they could have told a better story. Batman has a million stories you can tell that don't involve his origin. I feel like we should stay away from Batman's origin just because we've seen it so many times.
Especially,
and like,
you better not watch that new Fox show.
Oh, and by the way, the other comic that they referenced was Nightfall, and that was a really good reference.
Nice.
That was very good.
But like you said, the Bane stuff is kind of all over the place, and like you can see that. Oh, and then that ending, you kind of saw that coming halfway through as to like how they retcon, how does Bane not know Bruce's identity anymore? And you're like, oh,
yeah,
that's how.
I heard that, and I just kind of like, I don't know.
And you'll figure it out. As soon as they say, like, oh, something causes memory loss. And you're like, I know where this is going. It's like at the end of Dark Knight Trilogy, and they just mention autopilot a million times. And you're like, oh, man, how do you survive? I'm like, all right, autopilot. Yeah, fixed it.
And then he's in Italy, but no one recognizes him, even though he's the equivalent of Donald Trump.
He's the richest man in the world.
Yeah. No, but overall, I didn't think it was so bad. I did enjoy it. But no, you're right. I mean, if I had it my way, I would have continued the story, because if they did a sequel to City, then you would have had a Batman game without the Joker. Like, that's insane to some people. I definitely would have done that. And, I mean, just to finish off, I don't have a lot of hope for the Batman character in games right now, because the next Batman game, if they do a solo Batman game, which I hope they don't, they're going to have to double and triple dip a lot of these villains. You know, we've seen all of them at this point. I mean, unless they want to scrape the bottom of the barrel again and get a, you know, Electrocutioner and shit like that.
Yeah, get those random ones.
Yeah, there's no one left.
I mean, I think you can easily do a game of, like, you know, Court of Owls. I think the best Batman, like, the good thing about Asylum was,
guys,
like,
yeah.
I think the good thing about, like, Asylum, it was, like, an isolated incident. Like, this was just a shitty 4 hours for Batman.
Yeah.
Like, and then even in Arkham City, it was a big city, but I was like, no, but this is, you know, this game is technically taking place over, like, 9 hours. Mm-hmm. And like, you can kind of do that kind of story, but like this, I don't know. I just didn't dig Origins, and I think it was more of like I saw this already.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about, though. Even if these guys show up in a new, if you have Scarecrow and I don't know, just throw, you know, Scarecrow, Killer Croc, Poison Ivy, if they all come back, but they're doing something different, that's fine. But it's just like, I've already dealt with you in two or three games already. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know. I like seeing heroes just putting something like in a different element outside of, like, you know, their home turf. Like, that's why I like that Wolverine movie, as dumb as it was. I'm like, I kind of like when Wolverine goes on trips.
I thought it wasn't so bad. It was alright.
I liked the Wolverine movie.
That movie was great. Wait, we're talking about Wolverine Origins here?
No, Wolverine Origins is crap. We don't acknowledge the one... Origins. Never.
Okay, what are we talking about there? Because I'm like, you guys are crazy.
Wolverine,
if you're talking about
Wolverine.
Wolverine was
where he goes to Japan and fights angels.
Yes,
I was like, all right,
yeah, thumbs up.
I can dig this. I don't need much story. It's just fucking Wolverine's in Japan. I was like, great, just run with it. Like, I think we can do that same thing with Batman. It's like, oh, fucking Batman's in the jungle. All right, I don't know how we got there. Fuck it, let's go with it.
What you do is you put Batman in a fucking Justice League game developed by Rocksteady for the PS4 and Xbox One. Boom. I just dropped my mic. That's it.
You're here first, Dave, with the most predictable news of 2014.
But no one can report on it until the 25th. So
yeah. Kickstarter backers.
Hey yo.
That was a callback in comedy, I believe it's called.
Callback.
All right, so we're running over time, so we're going to close it up. Also, we're taking bets now on when the next Assassin's Creed is going to be rumored or revealed or leaked. I'm thinking mid-February, early March, around PAX.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like PAX East, we may hear something.
Yeah, it's going to be leaked before that.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm going to say May.
Oh, May, all right. You like to live dangerously.
I like to live dangerously.
All right. All right, well, that was episode 157 of the Shotcast. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm David Rodriguez, and I was joined this evening by Diana Laura, Community Manager.
Hey, yo.
George Jimenez, Staff Writer.
Don't tell me what to do with stuff I pay for.
Ryan Meitzler, Staff Writer.
I am going into offline mode. Good night.
Oh, both of them, both of them. And Tony Polanco, Staff Writer.
Go now!
All right,
Ryan made a City joke. I love it.